People began suspiciously dying around her, and she wrote in her diary about a strange compulsion that she'd take to her grave. Was it a coincidence, or did she see herself as an angel of mercy to her dying patients? This is the story of Lucia de Burgh, the Dutch nurse who was found guilty of being a serial killer before a math helped exonerate her. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I got interested in researching today's video while I was reading about the case of Lucy Letby, the quote-unquote killer nurse who was just convicted of killing 7 babies at her UK hospital and plotting to kill 6 more. In case you don't know anything about the situation, 33-year-old Lucy was apparently a friendly, chatty neonatal nurse who craved the, I don't want to use the word excitement, maybe intensity is the better word. She fed off the intensity of the intensive care unit. Between 2015 and 2016, babies at her hospital on the England-Wales border began dying or collapsing in unexpected numbers. In 1 month, there were 4 collapses that resulted in 3 deaths. The hospital looked into it and found that Letby was on duty each time it happened, but the deaths were simply called medication errors rather than investigated in any formal or police-backed sort of way. In June 2016, 2 of 3 triplets at the hospital died, which at that point meant 7 total babies had unexpectedly collapsed and were unable to be resuscitated. It was too much for the lead doctor in the neonatal unit, who insisted that it was Letby causing the issue. But there was really only circumstantial evidence, so the hospital once again didn't involve the cops. It wasn't until July 2018 that a year-long investigation came to a head, and Lucy Letby was arrested on charges of murder and attempted murder. She said she was innocent and that the infant deaths occurred because the hospital wasn't properly staffed, that doctors were incompetent, and that raw sewage was making them sick when it came out of the sinks and ran onto the floor of the hospital. But there were certainly several things that didn't look good for Letby, like the fact that when 2 of the babies got sick, it was during her first shift back after a vacation, or that Letby was found to have altered medical records to hide her involvement with the patients. Or that when Letby worked overnight, the attacks happened overnight, but when she switched to the day shift, the babies would collapse during the day. And worst of all, Letby's own handwritten notes found in her home said things like, "I killed them on purpose because I'm not good enough to care for them," and "I am evil, I did this." After 10 months, one of the longest murder trials ever in the UK, Lucy Letby was found guilty of 7 counts of murder. The causes of death of the infants ranged from injecting air into their bloodstreams, to force-feeding them too much milk, to using medical tools to cause bleeding in their stomachs. She was sentenced to life in prison without parole and is being called the most prolific serial killer of children in modern British history. But as always, there are those who don't believe she's guilty, namely, friends who say she's not capable of such horrors, and former colleagues who think the hospital was just out to get her. And of course, those who know her well would have a hard time siding against her, but what about a mathematician and university professor with absolutely no ties to her? Professor Richard Gill says that any statistician would tell you there simply isn't enough data to know if Letby is guilty or not. He says he doesn't know if Letby is guilty, but that no one does. The data set that prosecutors pointed to was just too narrow. It only looked at what happened while Letby was on duty, not the bigger picture of how many babies died in total during any one shift. Clusters of events can happen sometimes that just seem too related to just be coincidence, but if there's not enough evidence to prove someone's involvement, sometimes a terrible coincidence is really just that. As soon as Professor Gill heard about the case of Lucy Letby, he thought to himself, oh no, it's all going to happen again. Because Professor Richard Gill is no stranger to nurses accused of serial killing. In 2003, Dutch nurse Lucia de Burgh was found guilty of 4 murders and 3 more attempted murders. I think I watched every single video about her I could find in an effort to get that pronunciation right, but please correct me, native Dutch speakers. I'll call her by one of her nicknames, Lucy. Lucy de Burgh was born on September 22, 1961 in The Hague, Netherlands. She had a tough childhood and struggled to find her footing in her young adulthood after dealing with alcoholic parents. Her family moved to Canada when she was a teenager, where their home seemingly burned down because Lucy was burning candles in a closet. She dropped out of school and says she was tricked into prostitution. But in an attempt to turn her life around, she fudged her high school transcripts to get into nursing school. And by the year 2000, she was happily working with kids at Juliana Children's Hospital in The Hague. Tragically, during her time there in 2000 and 2001, a lot of babies died or needed to be resuscitated, 9 of them in 1 year. Although, when the first incidents occurred, it seemed like something that just happens in hospitals. People die in hospitals. but it was one too many when a six-month-old baby died on September 4th, 2001. It was suspicious because the baby had just undergone what appeared to be a successful heart surgery. Thinking back to all of the recent deaths, the hospital recognized that one person had been on duty every time an unexpected one occurred. As investigators looked into Lucy's work history, they found that patients young and old had been suspiciously dying after being alone with her at different hospitals dating back to 1997. In December 2001, they charged her with 13 murders and 5 more attempts. At trial, a doctor at the Netherlands Institute for the Study of Crime and Law Enforcement testified that the deaths likely couldn't have happened by chance. He calculated that the odds were only 1 in 342 million that one person could have accidentally been on shift at the time of all of the incidents, but Lucy maintained that it was just bad luck. The only evidence that really insinuated someone might have purposely caused the deaths was found in the exhumed bodies of only 2 of the children. They had traces of toxic drugs in their systems, although the thing is, these were the same substances that were used in the treatment of their illnesses. You know, the illnesses that brought the children to the hospital in the first place. But like Lucy Letby, Lucy DeBerk had also written something in her diaries that didn't look good for her. She said she had a strange compulsion and a secret she would die with. On a day in 1999, Lucy wrote in her diary that she had given in to her compulsion, and that same day, an elderly lady had died at her hospital. But Lucy explained to prosecutors that she loved life so much that she would never take it away from another person. With really no proof that she had been involved, only a statistical likelihood of it and some cryptic diary entries, Lucy was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. In the Netherlands, that meant she wouldn't be eligible for parole. When she later appealed, she was actually convicted of 3 more murders. Lucy was painted by the prosecution as someone who saw herself as an angel of mercy. The fact that she refused to take any responsibility for the murders and didn't seem to express any remorse made her sentence all the more harsh. The court even forced her into psychiatric treatment, but doctors found no reason to think she was mentally ill. But even her brother said he believed she was capable of the murders. Yet Lucy's fellow employees had seen her as caring and competent. Her commitment to her job had never been called into question before this. She continued to maintain that she was innocent, even as the country's Supreme Court upheld her conviction. And 4 years after going to prison, people were starting to believe her. This is where British mathematician Richard Gill comes in. He had been a professor in the Netherlands for over 3 decades and was leading the charge to change minds about Lucy's involvement in these deaths. He said, "Statistics drove the case from start to end. Statistics and psychology. Lucy's conviction for serial murder and even the proof that there were any murders at all, let alone by whom, were almost entirely based on wrong statistical data, wrongly analyzed, and wrongly interpreted." Now, the judges in Lucy's case said that statistics hadn't played a part in convicting her, that the evidence simply showed that these people were murdered. But Professor Gill said it was quite the opposite, that the police and the hospital had decided Lucy's guilt and then found ways to prove it. Not to get too nerdy here, but there's a philosophical argument in the data world called the Texas sharpshooter fallacy that I kept coming across as I researched this case. The idea comes from a joke about a man from Texas who shoots at the side of a barn and then goes in and draws a target around the area with the most bullet holes to show what an amazing shot he is. Basically, you come to a bad conclusion because you select for the similarities and ignore the differences in a data set. Professor Gill said that in Lucy's case, they started looking at deaths that occurred while she worked at the hospital and decided they must have been murder because Lucy was already, in their minds, an obvious serial killer, a bad conclusion that sprang from only looking at similar deaths. Authorities ignored the fact that 7 people died in one ward in the 3 years before Lucy began working at the hospital, and 6 people died in the 3 years after she started working there. That's right, more people died before Lucy entered the picture. They sometimes also just collected bad or biased data. Like, the investigators went to the hospital to gather more information, and they were asking other employees specifically about incidents that occurred around Lucy's shifts. Of course, if you know that someone's being charged as a serial killer, any death suddenly seems suspicious. It reminds me of that famous saying, "If all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail." People who died suddenly when Lucy wasn't on duty weren't even counted because they were considered not suspicious. So evidence that she wasn't involved was just completely thrown out. The campaign to review her case became so strong that an expert was appointed to investigate each of the deaths with fresh eyes. He determined that there was no reason to think these were murders when the deaths could have just as easily been natural. It turns out that many of the patients who mysteriously died were very young, very disabled, very elderly, or very sick. When one of the deaths occurred, Lucy hadn't even had a shift at the hospital for 3 days. Professor Gill applied his statistics knowledge to the data in Lucy's case and found that the whole 342 million to 1 odds thing that had been testified about at her trial was off, like way off. He said it was more like 1 in 48. And then with even more analysis using proper statistical methods, he said there was a 1 in 9 chance that any nurse might have found herself in Lucy's shoes. 49-year-old Lucy was released from prison in 2008 when it was declared that she needed a retrial. Basically, whether or not she was guilty couldn't possibly be determined from the data alone. At a new trial in 2010, prosecutors said that they could see the mistakes that were made and how they focused too much on expert testimony when the experts were clearly mistaken. They asked for an acquittal. The court found that there was no proof that any of the deaths blamed on Lucy were even murders. And that strange compulsion she wrote about in her diary? Lucy said she was talking about reading tarot cards for patients, a thing that she enjoyed doing but that she knew would be very against the rules for a nurse to do in a hospital setting. Lucy was exonerated, and the attorney general said he hoped her reputation would be restored. She was given 45,000 euros for her troubles by the hospital that accused her and an undisclosed sum from the Ministry of Justice. She now gives talks about her experience and says she doesn't hold any grudges. You can see her story in the Dutch film Accused, which was shortlisted for Best Foreign Language Film at the 2014 Oscars. It's always such a joy in cases like these to see people get their lives back. It'll certainly be interesting to see if anything happens with the Lucy Letby case that just concluded in the UK, and if Professor Gill launches a similar campaign to have the data re-examined in her case. I'm certainly not saying that I know anything about Letby's innocence or guilt, but if it were me, I would want to know that the data and the evidence had been examined from every angle. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.